Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The People's Republic of China, the rising power, the once and future. Well, we've got some headlines that are a puzzle, if that's all accurate. Military delegates lose sway at China's signature political gathering. This is the National People's Congress. That is the so-called rubber stamp organization that approves all of the decisions made by the Chinese Communist Party. But there are missing faces, and the FT is good enough to document those cases, although missing faces, but does not analyze what it means that they're not there. The FT says very politely, the discipline violations are, quote, taking a heavier toll on the armed forces and other parts of society. What a surprise, given that the military has the sharp end of the stick. I particularly was attracted by the list that they put right in the final paragraph, and I'm going to read it out loud without mangling the Chinese names and ask Gregory to interpret what I'm seeing. Observers are watching out for three more military delegates who have recently disappeared from public view. A man by the name of Li, a man by the name of Wang. Who is Li? The commander of the PLA. Who is Wang? He's the People's Armed Police. In addition, a man named Yuan, the PLA Navy's political commissar. Add this to the missing defense minister and missing admirals from the South China Sea. Gregory, these are major significant command posts. These men were all chosen by Xi over these last years. They all swore allegiance to Xi. What are we seeing?
Well, what we're seeing is the fact that these few people that you mentioned, or the FT mentioned, were just the tip of the iceberg in terms of the senior military personnel who Xi originally selected as his loyal commanders who have been dismissed by Xi himself in subsequent months or years. So the bottom line is that Xi cannot rely on the People's Liberation Army or the People's Armed Police, which is absolutely vital for internal security, to back him in any counter coup situation, or in the event, as I say, of a coup against him occurring. So he's lost his support base. The PLA doesn't trust him. He can no longer trust the PLA. He has a history, recent history of medical problems, possibly as many as two strokes over the past year. And I think we can say again, as we've been saying repeatedly on this program, that Xi Jinping is now in a corner, given nominal respect, but with not even nominal power. He faces the combined wrath of the enemy groups that he set up. He's attempted to eliminate individuals who he had identified as enemies. They are no longer there, but the groups such as the princeling community, of which Xi is one, feel betrayed by Xi because he was supposed to look after their interests as the second generation of the Great March people, or the earlier PLA, Communist Party leadership, and Xi has deliberately disenfranchised them and taken away their benefits, often imprisoned them for corruption and the like. So they hate him. The PLA doesn't trust him or like him, and neither do many of the elders in the PLA, in the CCP itself, the Communist Party of China, particularly the Jiang Zemin faction, which even in the after the death of Jiang Zemin, are there ready to curtail Xi at the moment's notice. So now all of the wolves are out and are circling. So it's too early for any potential follower to of Xi to emerge. That'll come out in the next few months. But Xi is now effectively not in power. The PLA and the PRC are not acting coherently on the world stage. They've gone quiet. They've accepted the penalties from the Trump administration. And what we're going to see is how this transition occurs and whether that it can be done smoothly so that the Communist Party of China does not feel the need to lash out militarily against any of its neighbors. If any of the factions in this disruptive process feel that they can take matters into their own hands and, for example, attack India from the Tibetan plateau or attack Vietnam or attack Taiwan, that will upset the apple cart completely and would be a short-lived operation. But the key would be obviously containing that before it becomes a broader conflict. But I believe it's now a situation where for the Communist Party of China to save itself, it must pretty quickly make sure that the world knows that Xi is no longer the unilateral decision maker and is unable to call for a major armed intervention in Taiwan, which would be the biggest trigger of them all. So I think we're going to see that coming up very, very quickly. And of course, the Communist Chinese Party has always justified its existence on the basis that it was compensating for this century of humiliation, which led to China's fragile or embattled position. And they blame this on the century of the Qing dynasty, which basically ended in about 1911 or 1912, but particularly under Empress Dowager Cixi, who basically allowed the incursions of the Japanese and of the Western powers to gain concessions in China. And this is used as justification by Beijing, the Communist Party, to say, well, we're justified in viewing Japan as a hostile, of viewing the United States and Britain as hostiles. But the reality is that It's just been a political tool for the Communist Party to blame all their failings on this century of humiliation. And and the United States was going through its own start of a century of humiliation until we saw, if you like, the creation of DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency in the United States, to basically restore the strength of the U.S. economy and currency and the like. And that's what Empress Dowager Cixi could have done herself before she passed away in 1908. She could have really rebuilt the Chinese economy, mainland economy, and resisted foreign depredations, but did not do so. We use these tools to blame somebody else for our own ills, current ills, and it's not really working. You either use a previous humiliation as a cause for your own remotivation, or you allow it to sink you into a mood of, well, you know, the old days are gone. We have to accept second-rate or worse status, which is what a number of countries in Europe have done. For example, they've accepted their demise rather than attempting to rebuild. And that's where it gets really interesting with the current US-European situation. Will Europe take this as an opportunity to rebuild its self-confidence and its prestige and its willpower? Will China get away from this blame game to save itself? I don't think they will. I think we're now in a situation where the People's Republic of China, if it continues to exist as a communist state, will now face decades of reconstruction if the Communist Party is to survive at all. And if there's any disruption, then the Communist Party of China itself could well be thrown out as the economic malaise hurts more and more Chinese people who are every day rebelling against this.
Now, let's bring it home to America, because your essay on strategic policy hints that America's going through the same decline. Do we see it? Have we arrested it? Is there a way forward?
Well, I think it's too soon to see whether the United States' own period of humiliation caused by its economic and social degradation over the past couple of decades, whether that, in fact, has been arrested yet. There's certainly a momentum being put in place. What we did see was the Trump administration hitting the ground running with a vast array of executive orders and legislation and appointments, and very much using its own form of bombastic diplomacy to force open the doors of negotiation, to force the world to pay attention to Washington once again. So it may well end up in a positive response for the U.S. economy, for the value or the strength of the U.S. dollar, and for the ability of the United States to once again regain prestige and therefore negotiating power around the world. But it's way too early to see how this is going to play out. But the United States needs to continue on that, if you like, mode, if it's going to reclaim global strategic leadership, whether or not it will be able to put together once again the same alliance structures that it had during the early Cold War era is debatable. And it's debatable also whether that's necessary for the U.S. to, if you like, go back and rebuild NATO. With AUKUS, the Australia-UK-United States treaty, which has not been understood by any of the three signatory nations' leaderships, but if they can take that treaty alone, that could be a far more powerful global strategic instrument than NATO ever was, because it's a global alliance. It has three very similar nations in terms of their language, in terms of their legal structures and the like, able to project coordinated military and economic power in the Atlantic, in the Indian Ocean, in the Pacific Ocean, in the polar regions and the like, in a way which NATO could never do and was not designed to do.
I want to come to the U.S. and China. The agreed upon position in Washington now is that China is an adversary. Is that helpful to us if we're to recover our prestige, to challenge China directly and no longer? Well, the word I believe in China is kowtow. Stopping that, was that enough, or do we need to do more?
Well, definitely need to do more. The question is, does the U.S. will have to decide whether it regards the continuation of the People's Republic of China, which means the Communist Party of China, if it wants that to continue or not. If not, and it wants China to go back to a more nationalistic form of government, or even break up into a number of different territories, as has occurred in the past, then it will need to continue to identify the Communist Party of China as the enemy. It did that with the Soviet Union, and the Soviet Union indeed did break up. Right. And you saw a nationalist government coming back into power in Russia, but we didn't have this whole Soviet empire and Soviet sphere of influence return under the post-Soviet Russians. So the United States definitely needs to decide whether it wants to see a subdued but continued communist government in mainland China, or whether it would be better served by breaking up the PRC or returning it to a nationalistic government. And either one has positive and negative connotations for the U.S. and the West. But there's no question, as long as the Communist Party continues to exist in Beijing, it will invariably regard the West, and particularly the United States, as its enemy. So if they regard the U.S. as its enemy, and they've been doing so ever since Mao took over in 1949, then the U.S. should respond accordingly, and can respond accordingly, notwithstanding the vast amount of dependency by the U.S. and other Western countries on the Chinese ability to process minerals, which Western countries have decided is far too dirty a business for them. So the U.S. and the West are going to have to get their hands dirty once again in exploiting and developing and refining the energy and the minerals, which China has been doing. China has allowed itself to do all the dirty jobs and made a lot of money and built absolute global dependence on them. And now that must come back home so that the U.S. itself refines and processes its rare earth minerals, its energy and the like. And Australia, UK, all have to do the same thing.
We need to turn to our favorite moment of the week, the King Charles Report. There's lots of news.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.